Good evening. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and you've tuned into Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy. And each week at this time, we're talking to representatives from each of our 50 states who now reside, or at least part-time call home, North Idaho, and are members of our community here. Each week, we'll talk to two representatives of, or I guess I should say, we'll talk to representatives of two states, because today we're actually not talking to just...
We have the most number of folks in this studio right here representing...
We have a full house to talk about North Star State, the Gopher State, the land of 10,000 lakes, the land of sky blue waters, our 22nd most populous state, home to nearly 6 million people. The 32nd state in the Union, whose statehood was ratified on May 11th, 1858. We have actually four Minnesotans in the studio.
Including a co-host.
Today. Yes. Including myself, we have Julie Calamine here, Woody Onan, and Patty Onan, all of whom originally hail from Minnesota. Let's let everybody know whose voice is whose. Julie Calamine, of course, is familiar to most of our listeners. Julie Calamine hosts the Tuesday morning show.
Yes, I do, Jack. Yes, good morning. This is Julie.
And we're also here with Woody Onan.
Julie, what's the number after one?
Two.
That's Minnesota.
And we're here with Patty Onan as well.
I'm going to have to have that explained.
Yeah.
I'll two. Say
it again. Two in the Minnesota pronunciation.
Oh.
When she does the phone numbers, she goes, that's 208. It's very round and ridiculous in every way.
Mm-hmm. They do that in Minnesota or
all the time?
All the time. Jack, is that true?
There is famously a Minnesotan accent, yeah. And I don't think everybody has it, but some people do.
Okay.
Accents are very interesting to me because I don't think I really have a strong one. A lot of the people I grew up with didn't, but then sometimes you meet somebody who really does. It's hard to figure out why, you know. In a certain geographical area, some people will have it very strongly and some just won't have it at all. I don't know.
So where in Minnesota is everyone from?
Well, I can start. I am from White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Now, where's that?
That's just about 15 minutes north of the two biggest cities in Minnesota, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Okay.
And then my family had a family cabin near Brainerd, which folks will remember from the movie Fargo. And so we had a little lake cabin up north, too.
And Patty?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay, two big cities. Well, I would say your big city, right? And finally, Woody, where are you from?
Well, my sister and I are from the same place, Jim. St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul, okay. And Jack?
I'm from Edina, Minnesota.
Now, where's that?
That's southwest suburbs of Minneapolis. So on the other side of the cities from Julie. And from St. Paul as well. My mom's from St. Paul. My dad's also, or my dad's family is from Minneapolis. And they were able to overcome their differences for a time and came together.
So essentially all four of you are from the lower half of the state.
Most people are, yeah.
Why? What's the northern part of the state like?
That's the woods, Jim.
Yes.
That's Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And that's where our parents were from. So we loved it up there.
So close to the Canadian border?
Correct. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time in those parks up there, Voyageurs National Park.
Yes, and lots of national forest land and state forest land and state parks, so it's not very inhabited, much like northern Idaho.
So most of the population is in the southern part of the state. What's the major difference between the northern part and the southern part?
Well, I mean, it has something like four different ecosystems. I think it's a boreal forest up in the north, and then there's a prairie kind of in the middle of the state. There's a woodland, like a deciduous, whatever they call that, like all maple and beautiful oak trees. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. And then there's a fourth one, which I can't remember.
Some Stick people with call the it microphone, Julie.
No. Some people call it the land of 10,000 mosquito breeding grounds.
Yeah.
Is it bad?
Oh, they need 100 feet to land.
Oh, really?
That's why we're here.
Okay. One of the things that I spent a chunk of time in Billings, Montana, and when they do the coldest spot in the nation, it would either be West Yellowstone or International Falls. Now, where's International Falls?
Or Embarrass, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It could also be there.
Now, are those up in the northern part of the state?
Yeah, guess where International Falls is. It's on the Canadian border.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's way up there.
Hence so international.
Where do the falls come in?
What river is that? Yeah, what river is International Falls?
Are there falls there?
I'm sure that there are.
Okay.
I think I've been through International Falls, maybe.
Why is it always so cold? I'm sorry.
Well, it's very far north. The sun declines, you know. You don't get much sun.
Okay. It's very far north. It's nowhere near the ocean, so there's nothing to warm it up, to moderate the temperature, and they will get... What do we call it? The polar
vortex.
The polar vortex coming down from Hudson Bay reaches right into Minnesota.
Okay, I see part of northeastern Minnesota is on Lake Superior. Mm-hmm. What's that like?
That's a beautiful part of the state, Jim. I can speak to that a little bit. We should ask our guests, I suppose. I have a hard time this is a difficult one for me because my usual curiosity about the states that I haven't been to is kind of it's hard to summon that for.
I think you need to let it out.
My home state. Up in the Arrowhead, as some people call it, is that pointy part of the state.
Right.
It's the north shore of Lake Superior, and it's also getting up towards where the boundary waters are, and the north shore. Of Lake Superior is not really much of a swimming lake because it's too cold.
I was
going to
ask that.
It's way too cold. There are beaches in Duluth that sometimes in August, there's a very, if you go to a very nice shallow spot, mm-hmm. you can get to temperatures that the human body will tolerate. But but for the most part, I think Lake Superior at its warmest is like 42 degrees or something like that.
Woody and Patty's parents lived there. So maybe hear something from Woody and
Still up there?
Yeah.
Okay, let's clear something up here. I left Minnesota in fifth grade. So my experience with Lake Superior was the polar plunge. Mm. And it was kind of a, you know, who's going to be brave and dip in. And I remember walking the shores looking for agates.
Ooh.
So,
find some?
It was beautiful.
Did you find
some? Yeah, it was beautiful and it was clean. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it might still be the cleanest Great Lake, I hope. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful.
Guess. Yeah.
Wonderful. And we used to go up, we didn't have a cabin like Julie in Brainerd, mm-hmm. but we did have a place to stay in Pike Lake, which was north of Duluth. And it was great. We'd go there summers and winters, and our uncle would plow the lake in the winter so we could ice skate and put color lights up. So my history in Minnesota was wonderful because I had a great childhood, and it was because we were always playing on water, mm-hmm. you know, winter or summer.
How is Lake Superior is not swimmable. How are the inner lakes in northern Minnesota? Are they swimmable, or do you have to fight through the mosquitoes?
Boy, it sure depends. You know, if you're out in the sun and it's a hot day, you're not getting mosquitoes, but almost any other time, those or black flies could show up.
Okay, how's the water for swimming?
Well, it again depends on the lake, but in most cases, it's pretty nice.
Are they
nice
deep water. Lakes?
There are 10,000 of them, Jim, so there's some shallow lakes, middle lakes, and some deep ones.
Are there really 10,000, or is that just
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah,
there's
quite
more
a bit,
than that. I mean, who counts that many?
There's more. Yeah.
How much water makes definition. A lake, too? It could be a pond.
It could be a bathtub, as far as we know.
Exactly.
We don't know who does the deal.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's a lot of them. We had seven or eight swimming holes we used to go to from St. Paul, and they were quite nice. Mm-hmm. There's a couple that were maybe overpopulated with kids. We kind of stayed away from those.
Mm-hmm.
There are, there's three or four lakes within the city limits of Minneapolis. Are there? I don't actually know. Are there lakes inside of St. Paul?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Como Lake was right down the street.
Okay.
Was Como there Kellogg Lake and Josephine? That might be slayed out.
Mm-hmm. Josephine, Turtle. Yeah, there's a bunch. There are quite a few. Lake Phelan. There are quite a few lakes in St. Paul and in Minneapolis too.
Right. Yeah. Minneapolis is kind of the. It's. I think that's if there's anything that makes Minneapolis different from other major cities, it is those lakes and the trail system around them.
Yeah. And Minnehaha Falls. I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, really?
Laughing Waters.
I thought it was small laughing. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Small laughing. Small laughter. Yeah.
So is northern Minnesota the land of the sky blue waters?
No, that's actually a Ham's Beer.
Ham's Beer. I know. That's because I grew up in northern Indiana from the land of sky blue waters.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, they're from, I think the brewery was in New Ulm, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was not far from or Twin Cities, but it wasn't way north, I don't think.
There was definitely a Ham's plant in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only you would know that, wouldn't you?
Let's see.
Food. Let's talk food. If one is going to go to Minnesota, what would one wrap one's lips around?
I'll take a second with that one. my uncle and my dad were twins, and they came from Norway, and they spoke Norwegian in the home, true, in Duluth. And so they grew up around Norwegian foods, and they became bakers in the Navy.
Ooh.
And then they became competitors in making Christmas bread.
Ooh.
And it's called julekaka. Mm-hmm. I'm not making that up. And they have dried,
scrumptious.
No. And they have dried citrus fruit in there. And it's, well, as far as I'm concerned, it's disgusting. So they finally took out the dried citrus fruit, but still competed with just raisins. Can you imagine that? And of course, they had lutefisk with butter dripping down their chin every Christmas Eve.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't open our presents until we ate some.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this explains the scarring you're looking at.
Yeah. you would have hot dish, Jim. You would have to have a hot dish if you were in Minnesota.
What's a hot dish?
It's it's different from a casserole, but I can't tell you how. It's what we call casserole, I guess.
Usually white sauce of some kind was in there. Nothing of color, no tomatoes.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. It's all frozen goods or things that can be preserved and then all cooked together. In a dish, served hot.
I'm looking at Jim Healy now, and he's beginning to realize why we might have moved here.
Well, do you serve hot dishes here?
As little as possible.
I think they'd be called a casserole if you had them here. As if you drank a soda here, it would be a soda. Whereas if you drank it in Minnesota, what would you call it, Woody?
Soda.
Pop.
You'd have a pop.
Oh, no. We didn't get pop in our home.
You didn't?
No pop. No pop allowed.
No pop.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I can chime in here for the, what was it you were talking about? Your last thing. The lutefisk and the bread. So I just wanted to say, my uncle, who was identical to my father, every time we got together, when we did do these Christmas breads, he would blindfold three of us, my sister, my brother, and I, and we would have to vote. On the bread.
Wow, I forgot about that.
It was kind of funny, but you know, then one time we had a pancake bake every year at Pike Lake, and
you're not really going to do this one, are you?
He had a contest for people to eat his pancakes because he worked for Pillsbury. But anyway, there was always a game going on, and it was a lot of fun. And people from the whole lake came, and it was very community driven, so it was great.
Wild rice is another thing the state is famous for, Jim.
Good stuff.
Yeah, you'd have wild some sort of a wild rice.
Where in Minnesota is the wild rice grown?
The near lakes, I believe. It's up north, right?
Yeah, north.
That's how you people still will go out.
A lot
and
of Native
their
Americans
own.
Are selling it. But we're selling it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually a good thing.
Yeah, and now I mean. The food when I was growing up was not particularly exciting, but when I go back to visit now, I know that in the cities, there's actually kind of it's one of the capitals of a resurgence in Native American cuisine. Actually, there's one of the, I think the top rated restaurant in the state or something is a Native American restaurant or is a Native American fusion restaurant of sorts, sort of trying to reclaim the food that naturally occurs in the state and in the country. Yeah, that's something of interest, something you might find interesting.
Yes. So what else do I need to know about Minnesota? I'm the outlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, there's a couple of topics. One would be the interesting accumulation of vice presidential candidates Minnesota has had. Does anyone want to talk about that?
Yeah. We had Humphrey. We had Tim Walz recently.
Mondale?
Walter Mondale was Minnesotan. Anybody before Humphrey? Probably not.
What does that say, mm-hmm. Julie, about the lack of presidential?
Well, we did.
As opposed to vice president.
Hey, you're skipping right over Walter Mondale, who was the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party in 1984.
Okay.
And what an election
that
was.
Did he make the presidency, Jack?
He carried his home state and
that was
the
about
District
it.
Of Columbia, and that district, was it.
That was it. Okay.
I think he's clearly not for Minnesota here, is he?
No.
Well, I have scooted across the bottom part, uh-huh. working my way from northern Indiana to Montana. So I do know, and I did stop at the Spam Museum in, is that Ely?
Oh my goodness.
Spam Museum?
That's at the wrong end of the state, Jim. No, it's in Austin, Minnesota, down on the southern part. Mm-hmm.
And no wonder you scooted through there.
Well, I have to admit, the Spam Museum is incredible. Have you guys ever been there?
I'll never go, Jim.
Oh, I have a sister-in-law who grew up in Austin, so yes, I've been there. But we need to back up to the president for a minute.
Okay.
Why no presidents? I have a theory, and my theory is that Minnesota Nice has played a part in these guys not becoming president.
Because Minnesotans are too nice to become politically viable?
It's a theory.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hey.
Could be. Yeah.
I'll live with that, Julie.
Yeah. I didn't always think this. I think Minnesota Nice is a phrase you grow up hearing. And I think it wasn't until I was a little older that I heard there is a connotation that it's a little more passive aggressive than it is actually nice. That people will pretend to be friendly or maybe overly friendly without being quite sincere in their feelings. And anyway, that's one definition of the term Minnesota Nice.
I've never heard of Minnesota Nice. But of course, I haven't spent
much
time.
Maybe we're setting a bad example here, but yeah. I think they are out there.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm surprised, though, that you haven't mentioned the one lake that people associate with Minnesota. Lake Wobegon.
Yes.
Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
How do locals respond to the portrayal of Minnesota on public radio for many years, a very popular show.
And all the children grew up to be something.
Above average.
Above average. But nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an accurate satire, I think, of a lot of people. From Minnesota, I think, especially that kind of small town Minnesota. I think I saw a lot of my grandparents in that radio program and the characters he kind of created there. He of course rarely talks about the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul in there, which is actually where most people who are from Minnesota live, is in that, in kind of in those, in either Hennepin or Ramsey County.
Yes,
yeah, they've forgotten, the oft-forgotten Ramsey County.
That's yes.
Second place.
But Jim, I think he was dead on about ketchup.
After we were born.
Yeah, I know.
Because Minnesotans love ketchup. So he had that one nailed.
Now, why is that?
I don't know, but there's an awful lot of ketchup eaten in Minnesota. And, it was on Lake Oregon.
In the old days, it was hard to get.
Harrison.
I mean, one of the things is it was hard to get like fresh food in a state that's frozen for much of the year. Yeah. It's cold. So I think I know.
Ketchup.
Yeah.
Ketchup. I'm going to have to think about that.
Uh-huh.
Ketchup. Okay.
You can't get like a pepper from a garden in Minnesota as far as I'm aware.
Why? The growing season is too short?
I would think so. I've never had a homemade jalapeno from Minnesota. It's Yeah.
It's possible. But I was more referring to, Jim, I was referring to Garrison Keillor's ketchup ads on Prairie Home Companion.
Right. That's okay. I caught your drift there, Julie.
I think it's a little overstated.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So what else about Minnesota, would you like folks, listeners, to think about?
Go to the Minnesota State Fair. We saw the Smothers Brothers there. And it was just great every year to look forward to. They do a good job of having these food booths, and you could get all your samplings there, maybe even some lutefisk.
Now, where in the state is the state fair?
Well, it's in just on the outskirts of St. Paul at the University of Minnesota St. Paul campus, which I attended, by the way. And for 10 days a year and sometime before and after, it's just crowded with all kinds of millions of Minnesotans come to it.
Okay. Okay.
I got a couple of things to say. You know, my sister and I were talking, Patty and I were talking about why people would move here at one point in time, and it's pretty easy. Minnesota has really terrible summers, very humid. Mosquito, it's just insane. You don't look forward to summer at all. And I got out of Minneapolis and walked from the airplane to the terminal about 13 years ago. I was on a trip. And just getting on the plane, I felt like I walked into this sauna that was just horrible. I mean, I almost keeled over. And that's what people are doing. They're out there and doing stuff like that. Weather. And then in the middle of winter, the only viable thing for me was there was the hockey rink few blocks away, and you could play for a long, long time, October even through March.
Yeah.
And it was, you always had ice.
It is the state of hockey, and for good reason. There's lakes everywhere, and they all freeze over in
the
winter.
Well, that's what Patty mentioned with skating.
Yeah. So, everything but Lake Superior pretty much freezes over solid.
They have a car highway up north. It's unbelievable that go over lakes. Yeah.
It's something that you, growing up, it all seemed normal. And then having gone back to visit, you know, in the wintertime, there's villages out in the middle of lakes where people go ice fishing.
Oh, yeah. They're little cabins that they scoot out on runners.
But way beyond little cabins now.
They are.
They have TV streaming, everything. Mm-hmm.
They can watch the Vikings.
Yes, you sure can.
You care to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Water being everywhere in the state, except for, I guess, down south where it's the lakes aren't quite as common in the south and in the west. But the whole northeast central part of the state there's a lake every couple miles, I guess.
Yeah, so
you're surrounded by water.
You scooted through the worst part of Minnesota with feedlots and, spam museums.
Uh-huh. Right? Okay. Well, where's Paul Bunyan from?
Up north.
It's questionable, either from Bemidji or Brainerd. And I guess he's also thought to be from Idaho, too. I guess he claims quite a few states.
Is Paul that Bunyan. True? Idaho? No, he's from. We all know he's from Minnesota.
No, Wisconsin? Oh, I think Wisconsin.
Let's blindfold everybody and vote on it.
It's definitely somewhere near the middle of Minnesota, a little further north. I don't remember the name of the city.
Bemidji.
Yeah. That's an interesting Bemidji. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how to spell it, but whenever I'd look at it, I go, "Whoa, that's a strange looking word, Bemidji." Mm-hmm.
Native American.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And our mutual friend, tennis friend of Patty's, is from Matomidai. That's another good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say, Jim, that the Twin City, and actually St. Paul in particular, just having gone back to visit, I think St. Paul is a beautiful city and old. And there used to be quite a rivalry. I think it's more or less been settled. There's still some rivalry, though, between Minneapolis and St. Paul. St. Paul's the capital. Minneapolis, the larger of the two. And they say that St. Paul, Minnesota is the last city of the East, and Minneapolis, Minnesota is the first city of the West. And there is definitely a different character, especially in the architecture of the two cities, and I would say in the culture as well. And so it makes for an interesting metropolitan area where you do have these two centers right next to each other.
What separates them? A river?
The Mississippi River is
which
the large.
Starts in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Way up north.
Yeah.
Itasca, is it?
Lake Itasca.
State Park.
You can walk across the
headwaters. The headwaters of the Mississippi River.
Yeah. And Jim, you'll find this interesting. We radio heads, because if you have if you're part of a radio station on the east side of the Mississippi, you're a W.
Yeah, your call sign, call letters start with W, east of the Mississippi, and they start with K, west of the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Now, do I dare ask why?
The FCC decided that in the 20s, I would guess. I think so. Yeah, okay. I don't know why those are the two letters they picked. Maybe they're not easy to mix up.
True, but you would think the one on the west might be the W.
However, we've got the
K on the west and the W on the east.
Yes.
Well, we are winding down.
Oh, State Fair, guys. We didn't really finish it.
I know. Yeah, the Great Minnesota Get Together. Is it the biggest, maybe the biggest state fair in the country?
Yes, and on a local radio station this year, they had a huge competition between the Pronto Pup and the Corn Dog. You know. Now, Jim. Do you know the difference, and do you have a preference?
I like the stick of butter that you deep fry, that is really popular
in state fairs. You do know a little. Not much.
Not much, though, as you can see by the questions I've been asking.
There you go.
Anything else that we have not mentioned about Minnesota? and we didn't mention beer, all the different breweries in St. Paul.
And they do still brew some beer there. Actually, some very good beer there. There's a kind of a micro, as everywhere.
There's a micro brewery
scene. But yeah, historically, a major Mill City is one of the nicknames for Minneapolis. It's right on the Mississippi River, and there were huge mills there. The history of Minnesota I find pretty interesting, especially now being an outsider learning about it.
Okay.
First Minnesota's role in the Civil War, don't forget them, at the Battle of Gettysburg.
Who could?
That's right. You'd be, where would you be without their heroism at that battle? So,
Jim, I'll just give you one last shot here. Next time you go back to Minnesota, go up by Lake Superior in the fall along Lakeshore Drive. You'll see fantastic leaves, and then stop. They have smoked whitefish everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay. And way better than the spam, you might think.
That's right. Yeah, the smoked fish is great. All the freshwater fish is lots of walleyes.
Can we bring it back to Idaho before we finish? We all ended up here. How come? Start with you, Jack. How did you find Idaho and Sandpoint?
Because it's a lot like Minnesota, but not as humid, and there's not as many bugs, I think.
And mountains.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, the mountains. That's right. I moved first to Missoula, Montana, and fell in love with the West. But there was no, in the summer, it is hot and dry, and I really missed having access to a body of water. And that will bring you up to Sandpoint. How about you?
For me, much of the same. Yeah. I love the outdoors, and so it was such an improvement to be here in Sandpoint. And I'll leave it at that. But you guys, these two and their sister have an interesting story. You came along.
I followed along because my sister Pam discovered it, and I felt really lucky whenever we'd come here to do Christmas and ski and. And then the summers were equally great, and there were no mosquitoes.
I spent a lot of time in British Columbia skiing, and I came back, and Pam was here. And every time I came back in the spring, I was like, wow, this is a nice place. And so, stuck with me.
Well, we're overdue for our next state, so we're going to have to leave it there, I guess.
We're going to have to thank Julie, Patty, Woody, and of course you're staying on here, Jack.
Yeah, I suppose.
For sharing your thoughts on Minnesota. Did I say it right? Well, thank you. Thank your applause.